So the breath of God. Slide one, please, Joe. Holy Spirit brings and gives life. He brings and he gives life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." If you get the time to read how God created things, Genesis chapter 1, you know, when God spoke, things happened. Amen. I would love to get into another conversation with my old earth science teacher from high school. He was a guy that believed in the Big Bang Theory. I would love to be able to tell him, yes, God spoke and bang, it happened. That's the Big Bang Theory. But God spoke and his creation came into being. Now, only with man does Scripture tell us that God breathed into his nostrils and breathed into him life. When God created the herbs and God created the trees and God created animals, it didn't say that God breathed into the animals' nostrils to give them life. It just says that God created the animals of water and of land, and he spoke them into existence, just as he spoke into existence the sun, the moon, the stars. God desires relationship with man, not with herbs, not with trees. God is not a tree hugger. He created trees, okay? And so he loves his creation, but he loves us more because he wants to have a relationship with us. And so as he breathed life into Adam, of course, Adam was created. We are all created in the image of God. So when God created Adam and Eve, they were created in their image. God, it's Scripture even says that God says, "Let us." He's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about himself and the Holy Spirit. "Create man in our," word, "our image." He's talking about him, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God still desires a relationship with you. Now, the kind of relationship that God desires with you is not a relationship that you think what relationships should be like. "Well, I've been in a relationship for 20 years. I've been married for 40 years. I've been married for 22 years." However long that relationship is, your relationship with God should be better than that. My wife and I, we've been married, but my relationship with God should be more important than my relationship with my wife. It should be more of a priority. This thing's making too much noise here. It should be more of a priority. God still desires a relationship with me where he becomes first. And here we are, his creation. We have dominion over the rest of God's creation. But you know what the problem is when we don't realize that the Spirit of God can be active in us and through us and leading us. And so a lot of people live their life based on what they want to do, based on an itching feel, based on their emotions, based on how their day is going. Now, I got tired of telling people, and I catch myself even to this day sometimes saying, when I go into store and I try to create a conversation with people and I say, "Hey, how's your day?" And they'll, you know, "Having a bad day." "Oh, it's been a tough one." And I kind of say, "Oh, it's another Monday this week, isn't it?" Because, you know, how many of you can agree your Mondays are like, "Man, I wish my weekend would have been longer." Anybody? All right, okay, so Mondays has a way of doing that to you. I'm going to go ahead and just swap and just use this microphone. So turn the purple one on, Joe. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn this one off. Get a little aggravated to me. So. All right, here we go. So the sad thing is that when we don't realize that the Spirit of God can be active in us, he can be active through us and leading us. And if we can just say, "Lord, help me." A lot of times you just need to be humble. Be humble. Quit trying to act like you got it all together and you just have it that way. Be humble. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. "Lord, help me to understand the importance of Holy Spirit. Help me to understand how he needs to be active in me and with me and through me." Slide two. Let's go to slide two real quick. You see, these Holy Spirit, I found this, and the next slide is something that I shared a couple weeks ago, but Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we are God's children. He puts that assurance, that peace.
How many of you ever experienced that check in your heart? Like, uh-oh, because you had a bad attitude. You said something wrong. You did something wrong. As a believer in Christ, he is Holy Spirit that's checking us. He's the Holy Spirit that's saying, hey, what are you doing? Sometimes I like to think in my head because I go there sometimes. But, hey, knucklehead, what are you doing? I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me that. Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing? Get your act together. Get your mind straight. Why are you thinking on that? Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets on my case and says, why are you thinking of yourself that way? That's not what the Father says about you. So why are you holding on to what you say or what others say about you? Holy Spirit, he's another helper to be with us and in us. It's always awesome to understand, to realize or remember the fact that God knows that we needed a Savior, so he sent Jesus. Jesus knows that we need a helper and a comforter, so he says that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is sent to us by Jesus. Holy Spirit brings life fruit that displays. Holy Spirit, he brings and reveals the character of God. He's the one that helps us develop godly character and relationships that honor God. And go to the next slide, Joe, please. And these are the things, I'll put them on HTAG News later on today, but these are the things the Holy Spirit does with the scriptures to back it up so that you'll know that I'm not lying to you, but scripture backs it up. This is what Holy Spirit does for us. This is why it is important that he is active in us, with us, and through us. Our Creator God, the Father, he's promised us something. In Romans chapter 8, verses 13, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Let your attitude dictate how you're supposed to live, you'll find death. Your flesh attitude, you know, when people, you know, push the right buttons. Let your bad reactions, bad thoughts, selfish thoughts, let that lead and direct you. It will lead you to death. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if is a key word, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But listen, this is what God gives us. You receive the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Our Creator, God the Father, has promised us his Spirit. We need to learn to understand, why do I need the Spirit? Why should he be active? Learn why you need him. Learn to embrace him. Learn to accept him. Learn to follow him. Learn to listen to him. By Holy Spirit, we are able to put to death the deeds of the body so that we may live in him. We may live in Christ. We may live in God and walk with God. Slide 4, Joe, please. Dead body, living being. Holy Spirit quickens life. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 19. As I mentioned, in Genesis 2, God breathed life into Adam's nostrils. And that life brought, I mean, it brought him to life. I mean, God actually breathed himself, Holy Spirit, into Adam. And here in John 20, we find that Jesus does something similar. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus had already died and he has risen from the dead. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. That'd be really cool. You know, if you're in a room and you're not, you know, you're not knowing what's really going on, you're in a deep conversation, all of a sudden, peace be with you. And you turn around and it's, oh, it's Jesus. You know, it's very shocking probably, but he says, peace be unto you. Now listen. Nobody can give us this kind of peace, the kind of peace that he gives. You can't find it anywhere else. I can't find that kind of peace in my marriage. Because Shannon can't give me that peace. But the Lord Jesus can. He is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And in verse 20, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, proof that he was really Jesus. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Only the Father can send us. Listen, only the Father can send you. You might have a great idea of what your ministry would look like, of what you can do for God. But until you empty yourself, empty that box and empty yourself and say, God, show me how to do ministry. God, show me how to live my life for you. God, show me what you have to do. Then you'll walk in the will of God. I think a lot of people, they get a little bit of what God's will is or God's plan for their life. Then they add it. It's like they're cooking. You know, they add a little bit of this, a little bit of Sazon, a little bit of Tabasco sauce, a little bit of Worcestershire. They just keep adding things. Stop. Empty yourself and say, God, how do you want me to live? God, what ministry do you have? Quit trying to put your hand. Oh, God, you know what? That sounds good. But you know what? It'd be better from the comfort of my own home. When God's been trying to call many of you to a certain place, but you don't want to. Let it go. Let your life go. Empty it out. Give it to God. Only the Father can send you because the authority comes from him. The authority comes from him. And if the authority comes from him, the power comes from him, the spirit comes from him, the words to speak comes from him, the actions and the love comes from him. It all comes from him. Some of you have been sent, but you're not going. And I don't know what the reason is, but God does. Can I encourage you to do something today? Repent and go. Repent and obey. He's telling you to forgive. You don't want to forgive. He's telling you to go make amends. He's telling you to go and sell all that you have. He's telling you to go into that workplace. He's telling you to go into that home, go into that school and declare the love of God, the glory of God. But you don't want to go. Repent. God, I'm sorry. I know I'm doing my own thing. God, I forgive. I empty myself. And God, I will go. Forgive me. I will go. Repent and go. I was in the military. Now, for those of you that are ever in the military, now, you might have love for it to work like this, but it don't work like this. To choose wherever you want to go. To be, no, you know what? I'm good in Hawaii, CO. Or, you know, commanding officer, I'm good. I'll be here till, you know, till I retire or whatever. You know, I'm fine. It don't work that way. Because those in authority dictate where you're going to go. There is someone called a career planner or someone that dictates where your next duty station is going to be. And he or she will dictate where you're going to go by the authorities above them, telling them where to place you, where to put you. And I think a lot of times we tend to think that Christianity or our ministry is similar. Like, no, God orders. God dictates. God has that authority. There's a chain of command even in ministry. Just ask Peter. Just ask James and John. They wanted to do things at their own time. And Jesus says, no, hold your role. Wait a minute. It's at God's time. And God knows what he's going to do. Verse 22, it says that Jesus breathed on them. So I want to point out that when Jesus said, as the Father sends me, even so I send you, that still happens today. Jesus wants to send all of us to go tell people, to go demonstrate to people the love of God that Jesus saves. Now, I was thinking it would have been great if I had, you know, a bunch of these and necklaces for everybody to have and said, Jesus, he is the key to whatever need that someone has out in the world. He is the key. He is the answer. He is salvation. And we need to go and share this with people and take it to wherever God leads us and sends us, because it is Jesus, not us, but Jesus that is the key and he is the way. So Jesus says, as the Father sends me, even so I send you. And let me remind you, you are still being sent. Regardless of how you look at it, what you think, regardless of your personality. You know, well, I'm kind of timid. I don't really talk to people. You know what? Then you need to pray a little bit more and ask the Lord to give you some boldness. Ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit, his love, his compassion for those who are lost. Because let me tell you, even if you're timid and you're kind of quiet, there are people that are lost. And Jesus is your Savior. And if he is your Savior, the Spirit of the living God is inside of you. He dwells in you. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But he dwells inside of you. Why would we refrain? Why would we back away from telling people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? That no one can come unto the Father. No one can get into heaven unless they go through him. We must. So Jesus breathed, verse 22, Jesus breathed on them. What do you think he breathed on them? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, the Spirit of life. That is who Holy Spirit is. He is Holy Spirit who brings life. The indwelling of Holy Spirit, he brings spiritual guidance, spiritual wisdom. That's why he can help us develop godly character and actually lead us in the way that we're supposed to live. Every believer here, you've experienced the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in you, because when you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you surrendered your life, God deposited his Holy Spirit in you. He's the one that convicts you. He's the one that tells you to make a left turn when you're really wanting to make a right turn, so to speak. He's the one. He is there for every believer, but not many believers have or are even trying to understand this amazing phenomenon, supernatural phenomenon, that it is God's Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We were singing that a little while ago. It resides in us as believers in Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, as God was creating all the things that all of his creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit was there. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That same Spirit dwells in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And that means to just think about the flesh. Think about yourself. Not think about God or spiritual things, but just think about what's going on here on earth. If you have that kind of mind, where is it going to lead you? Here it says death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity. It is opposing against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are led by the flesh cannot please God. Whoa, there you go. A great scripture to hold on to. You know what? I need to pray. You have an attitude with somebody in your house. You have an attitude with somebody at work. You need to go pray. While others take a smoke break, you go take a prayer break. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, ooh, he is not his. Look, I like for Jesus to say, yeah, he's mine. And point right at me, he's mine. Oh, he's mine. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life, or quicken your life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. That word quicken means to revitalize, to make alive. This is what God's Spirit does in us. Not like any revitalizing cream. Shannon and I, we kind of laugh sometimes when we watch those commercials. And those commercials about revitalizing cream. You know, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. It's supposed to make you look younger. And we laugh because the girls in the commercial are young. Okay? It's like, wow, it even worked before she put it on her face. You know, so we kind of laugh at that. But the Holy Spirit quickens. He revitalizes something that's within you. He revitalizes your life, because there is something more to live than what this world has to offer. There's something worth more to live. The Spirit of God quickens us to live in him, to move and have our being, to walk with him. Today, we are privileged to do something. We are privileged to remember what Jesus has done for us. A reminder of what Jesus did. A reminder of how we ought to live for him as we wait for his return. This morning, we have a communion prepared and ready. and I'm going to have a video to share with us as you take the opportunity to examine your heart. You see, what Jesus has done, he's done something for us because there's something worth living. It's not found here. It's eternity in heaven. And he died for a purpose and he died for a reason. And today we get the opportunity, the blessed opportunity to remember what he's done for us. We should be doing his will and going to reveal his will. So I invite you to take communion. But before we do, I just want to share this with you. First, make sure that you are in right standing with God, where Jesus is your Savior and you are following Christ. If not, then reflect on your life, reflect on your sin, the price that was paid for your sin, repent and receive Christ as Savior. Number two, establish an altar at your seat, or please come forward. Altars are for sacrifices unto God, where I leave it all at the altar and I surrender it all because I no longer belong to myself. I now belong to God. Number three, remember what Jesus did for you, what God has provided for you when he raised Jesus from the dead. Joe, go ahead and just play that video. We're going to play this video for a little bit and I'm going to read some scriptures and we're going to conduct communion in a little bit. That is what makes this so special. That's what makes it so sacred. And every time, and this is one of the things that I'm thankful that our previous pastors, my in-laws, Robert Dial and Lou Dial, I'm so thankful that every month we get to do this. And one of my prayers is, Lord, let it not be monotonous that we just end up doing it because it's on the calendar and it's just something that we normally do. My heart's not in that. My heart is, Lord, we get to remember together as a family of believers what you have done for us, Jesus, and we wait for your return. So it is sacred. So I encourage you to always look at communion as a time of sacredness that we come together as a family to believe that, Lord Jesus, you're coming back for us. Holy Spirit, in my closing, Holy Spirit empowers us. Joe, slide 5, please. Holy Spirit empowers life. He is our power source for the Christian life. Acts chapter 19. And it was awesome because this was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. But something happened in Acts 19 verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding more disciples, he said to them, hey, did you guys receive Holy Spirit since you believe? They said, man, we don't even know this Holy Spirit you're talking about. And he said to them, then in what baptism were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. Then he said to them, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. My question is, Lord, how can that, what we just read, happen here? How can that happen here? You know, there's a key ingredient. Of course, it's Jesus. But the fact that those 12, when they heard, they could care less what was going on. They wanted. They didn't care less what anybody says, they received. There is something about when God's word is preached, when God's word is spoken, his truth is spoken, people hear it, people receive it, God shows up. And my prayer is, Lord, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome if that happened. And you know what, right away, why are you saying it would be awesome? Why are you even mentioning that and posing it as a question? Because that's how I was posing it. Lord, it'd be awesome. Can that happen? It'd be awesome if that happened. Rick, why don't you expect it? Because that's how it's supposed to be. When we read passages like this, ladies and gentlemen, it's not like, oh yeah, that's how it used to be in the old days. It's the living word of God. It ought to happen today. And so as we empty ourselves, the main thing that should happen is that when we hear this, and if I was to read it again, without anybody saying anything, without any of you caring what other people are going to say, would you receive it? And then when you receive it, would you actually speak whatever came to your mind? Oh, no, wait, hold on, Pastor. Now you're going a little too far because what's coming to my mind sounds really weird and I don't want people. You're stepping in the way. You're getting in the middle of it. Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Holy Spirit empowers because there is more to this life than what we see. There was more to this life that Paul was preaching than what these 12 already had, and they wanted more. God's agenda to accomplish his purpose. God's love to reveal to the lost. They hadn't heard about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, but when they heard and they were given the opportunity to receive, they took it. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, the promise of God's Spirit falling on people is not by force, it is by faith. So even as I'm speaking today and at the end of the service, when I encourage anyone to come to the altar, will you come? And whoever lays their hand upon you, will you receive? Whatever comes to your mind, will you speak? Again, not caring what anybody's going to say or do. Not even caring about what you're going to think. How foolish am I going to? No, throw that out. Receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Just as God will not force you to do something, you will either follow him or you don't follow him. You will either receive from him or you won't receive from him. You either allow his Spirit to bring eternal life to lead you and your decisions, or you know what? You lead your own life by your own feelings, your own intellect, and your own desires. Salvation, anyone? I mean, I think that's what pretty much what's happening here. Paul was like, baptism, anyone? I mean, you know, we don't have water in the baptismal, but I'll fill it if someone wants to get baptized today. And if those of you that have yet to be baptized don't care about your car, if you got leather or you got cloth, if you need to be baptized, we will baptize you. If you feel like, you know what, I don't know this Holy Spirit, but I want to, will you receive him? Will you come forward and just have, look, I don't have a special prayer. All I'm going to say is, Lord, fill them with what you have for them. That's all. And I don't believe that Paul had an actual prayer, specific prayer either. He just laid hands on them and said, oh, Lord, thank you that these men, they want to receive. These 12 want to receive of you. Salvation? Anyone? Water baptism? Anyone? Spirit baptism? Feel like Bueller movie. Anyone? Listen, these 12 could have refused. These 12 could have refused, but yet they believed and received. My prayer is that you will receive today. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickens, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. Proverbs 4:22 says, God's words are health to all your flesh. Those very words must dictate our way of life. Our lifestyle must honor God and bring life, not death. So take this time. Speak to the Father. Repent if you need to. Come and receive if you want to. Embrace his Spirit. It is his promise to every believer. Every believer in Christ already has them. Every believer can be baptized with him. But you can ignore him. You and I can quench. We can stop. Stop. I don't want to hear that. I don't want any of that. We can do that to the Holy Spirit. But yet God has promised him to us. And that if we seek God, God will fill us. And Holy Spirit will lead us. Holy Spirit will teach us how to walk after him. Holy Spirit brings life. Holy Spirit quickens life. Holy Spirit empowers life. Joe, play that last video. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us, empower us, and quicken us to only do what the Father wants us to do. If you haven't embraced him, do so now.